The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Dearest brothers and sisters, grace and peace to you from God in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Martha really gets a bad rap in this story, doesn't she? I mean, honestly, growing up with this story myself, we hear it and think, well, this is clearly a story about don't be a Martha, be a Mary. But I want to remind us of some of what else we hear in Luke's gospel. There was a story we read just a couple weeks ago, the commissioning of the 72, in which Jesus highlights 72 disciples and then sends them out into surrounding areas. And one of the directions that Jesus gives to these disciples is when you walk into any home, accept their hospitality and their service. There's another story in Luke's gospel where his apostles are arguing amongst themselves as to who the greatest of them is. And Jesus, in hearing them, turns around and says to them, "Whichever one of you wants to be the greatest, you must become a servant to all." So Martha gets this bad rap from being present in her own home and serving these people that have walked in and welcoming them and taking care of their needs, just like we would expect any gracious host to do. And while she gets this bad rap, we actually hear throughout the rest of the Gospels that service is one of the hallmarks of discipleship. In fact, I would even go so far as to say that Martha is highlighting what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to take Jesus' commandments to his own apostles and to bring those into your own life and to live by those very words. Martha, in this story, is really loving the best way that she knows how. She's not loving Jesus any less than her sister. She's loving Jesus to the fullest extent of how she was raised to show love to someone in her time and in her place. So I would say this isn't a story about Martha versus Mary. It's not one or the other. This is a story where Jesus is highlighting something special that Mary is doing, though. And that is that in a culture where a woman was expected to be in her home, where if guests were to arrive, a woman was expected to make sure that all of their comforts were taken care of, that food was ready. In that kind of a world where a woman's role was very specifically designated to her, Mary takes a risk. Mary walks away from that role and instead sits at Jesus' feet to listen to his words. I don't think Jesus is saying that Mary is better than Martha, or that Martha is wrong, or that we need to be Marys and not Marthas, but I think Jesus is simply highlighting that here a risk was taken for the sake of love. Which then begs the question for us: how do we show love in our world around us? Now, as Lutherans, and as a lot of Danes, we tend to be Marthas. We tend to show our love in service and hard work. How many of you grew up with fathers who just worked endlessly to provide for their family? Right? I can't tell you how many funerals I've done where I sit down with families and say, tell me about your father. Tell me about your loved one who has passed away. And so often, it is a story of Martha. It is a story of someone who worked endlessly, who really couldn't find the ability to just sit down and relax. And it wasn't because of a character flaw, but it was because that is how we are trained to love. And for a lot of us, those loved ones of ours did it 110%, right? I did a wedding yesterday. Raylene Peterson was there. I'm calling her out. She said, "What's the sermon on tomorrow? I'm going to decide if I'm coming or not, depending on your answer." And I said, "It's about Martha and Mary." And she said, "Oh, that's a good one. That's good for us Danes to hear because we work a lot, right?" And we do. And our faith, too, as Lutherans. You know, Martin Luther is really credited for being the person that started the Enlightenment period, that started this 500-year period where reasoning and philosophy come about, where we intellectualize things. And there's so many benefits in our world because of that. But I'll tell you now, even as a Lutheran pastor, as someone who is very highly intellectual myself, I personally tend to skip out on the experiential parts of life. I tend to read books and philosophize rather than to just appreciate the company in which I am in or the beauty of a sunset. I have been trained to love the best way that I know how, and a lot of the times that comes out in service and in work. And so for any of us Marthas here, you are not being bashed. I want to highlight that love that comes out in work. Our own church, Bethania Lutheran Church, we are unique in a way that so much of our ministry is focused on service, on caring for those in need. We don't really have a whole lot of the experiential stuff. It's more about getting our hands dirty, identifying those in our community that need help most, and then showing up for the task. But I'll tell you, we could use some of this Mary kind of love in our lives. We can use this ability to just pause and to appreciate the love that exists around us, to allow ourselves to at least briefly be immersed in that love and the experience of God's blessings in our lives, in the creation that's around us, in the diversity of this community, in the various cultures we have, from Scandinavian to Hispanic and Latino, and all of the wonderful ways that this enables us to embrace life. Now I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to take off my intellectual pastor hat and I'm going to put on my millennial hat, right? That's a word that some of you hear is the millennials. And sometimes there's a lot of millennial bashing that happens. And I don't like it so much, but I'm going to do it myself right now. Us millennials, we tend to be overtly experiential. We tend to kind of skip out on the work sometimes because we feel that this is the only life we have. And by God, we need to experience it. That's Mary. That's what Jesus is lifting up in this story here. This ability for people to just pause and embrace the experiences around us. The largest growing religious category in this country right now, they call it the nuns. And that phrase, it comes from this phrase, spiritual but not religious. Have you heard this before? You ask people, "Oh, do you believe in God? Are you a Christian? Do you have an affiliation?" And someone will say, "Well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious." And that's kind of a way of millennials to cast off definitions, to cast off being placed into a box, to say I'm spiritual but not religious. And really what that gets at is that a lot of younger people have this very personal spiritual experience in life. They don't like to define it, but they do like to embrace it. The problem with this is that it becomes only personal. It becomes inward and at times egotistical. I think there's a lesson in all of this for us. And that is to say that whether you are a Martha, whether you are engrossed in the work elements of life and showing your love that way, or if you are a Mary, if you find yourself constantly immersed in the experiential sides of life, the spiritual but not religious, there is an invitation here by Jesus to risk coming out of that place of comfort for you and experiencing love in a different way. For those of you that do work endlessly and show your love, do you feel a slight twinge of discomfort if I were to ask you to just pause, to break away from your routine, and to just sit in silence for a little while? I hear that and it gives me anxiety just talking about it. And for those who really do find themselves immersed in the experiential side of life, immersed in the spiritual but not religious, what would it look like to take that incredible faith and to put it in action, to respond to that experiential love of God by reaching out to those in need and caring for those who need us most? What does it look like to love in the ways that make us feel uncomfortable? We had Theology Pub this last Thursday, and the summer months, Theology Pub is open topic night. So people come and they bring their own topics. They ask their own questions. They get to use me as a pastor and theologian to answer any of the questions that they have. And I do my best to answer them as well as I can. And I warn them ahead of time, I am really good at BS, so you might not be getting a great answer, but it's going to sound great no matter what. But we did have this one question that came out, and someone said, really, what is it that God wants for us in this life? And I had to just pause and think about that for a moment. What is it that I, as a pastor, think that God wants for us most in this life? And as I thought about that, some trigger words came to mind, words like salvation and heaven. Is that what God seeks for us, to have salvation, to get to heaven one day at the end of our lives? And as a pastor, the word that really came forward, the word for me that comes out when I think of that question, what is it that God wants for us? It's meaningfulness. That's the word that I had for the person who asked that question that day, that God's hope for all of us is that we experience meaningfulness in this life. And the thing about meaningfulness is that meaningfulness does not only come with happy, positive experiences, but often meaningfulness is accompanied by negative and painful experiences. When we go through those things in our lives and we come out through the other side, at some point there's this elevated level of meaningfulness for us. It helps us see what's most important in this life. And so really, I think that is what God wants for all of us, is to experience meaningfulness. And the cool thing about that is that we live in this incredible world full of diversity, full of different cultures, different customs, different places of the world that have different environments, from Arctic wonderlands to tropical islands. Places where we can experience meaningfulness in incredibly different ways. At the heart of this story of Martha and Mary, I think, is that we get trapped in these comfortable ways of showing love, these limited ways of showing love. And the invitation here is for us to risk coming out of those comfortable places into the ways that perhaps we weren't raised to show love, and to experience God's diversity of meaningfulness in our lives. What does that look like for you? What does that look like to risk going outside of your own comfort zones, to either experience love in service, by caring for those in need, or by immersing yourself in God's love in a present moment with those around you, with the creation around us. We only get this one life, folks. This one life of vast beauty, vast experiences, vast cultures. This one life to experience all that God has for us, this incredible gift that we call life. If you want to understand what the story about Martha and Mary is, more than anything, I think it's an invitation for us as Christians, as children of God, to embrace this life as a gift and to discover all that it has to offer for us, this thing that I like to call meaningfulness. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.